The reading is from John's first letter, chapter 4, beginning at verse 7. And that can be found on page 1227 in the Church Bibles. God's love and ours. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is made complete in us. We know that we live in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in him and he in God. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in him. In this way, love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment, because in this world we are like him. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Margaret. Well, we're coming to the end of our series on the marks of a healthy church. And over the last couple of months, we've looked at a witnessing church, spirit-filled church, prophetic church, a discipling church, a generous church, and a few others. But today we complete with the marks of a healthy church, a loving church. And it feels like a very suitable way to end the series. And so I'm going to ask Mary now to come and to speak to us. I'm just going to pray for Mary before she does. Father, thank you that you call us to be your church. And we want to be a healthy church. A church that is looking out into the world. A church that is demonstrating your love. I pray for Mary as she speaks that you would speak through her to us. Challenge us where we need to be challenged. Change us where we need to be changed. Amen.
So it's great to be here on Mothering Sunday. And particularly as we speak about love, because I think so many of us have learnt about love from our own mothers. One of my earliest memories of growing up was of my mother coming. It felt like every night, but maybe it wasn't every night, but she came often to the side of my bed, and she knelt by my bed, and she would tell me that I was very special. And I was born fairly soon after the war, and my father had been away at war, and he came back, and fairly soon after that I was conceived and born. And she always told me how much she wanted me, how special I was. And that was a very wonderful thing to grow up with. It's a real privilege, isn't it, to know that we're loved at an early age. And many of us will have learned about love through our own mothers. And many of us will have learnt about God's love through the experience of being mothers, the challenges and the joys of being mothers ourselves. I love most of all to see my children gathered. And I believe that that's what God loves as well. He is a God who gathers and he loves to see his people together. And I believe that days like this when we're all gathered together bring joy to God's heart. I love watching my children interact with one another. And I know that my mother loved that as well. I can remember one Christmas we were all sitting around the table. There were three girls in my family and we all got married and we all began to have children. And we gathered one year for Christmas and I can remember my mother sitting at the head of the table and saying to me, life doesn't get better than this. And that's what she loved to do. She loved to watch her children in a gathering together. And I really believe that that is part of God's heart as well. John, who wrote this epistle, certainly knew what it was to be loved by Jesus. And I love the fact that he refers to himself four times in his gospel as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And this whole epistle speaks of the love of John's love for the people to whom he's writing. He calls them dear children, dear friends, and he loves them and he wants the best for them. And we can learn so much through reading what he wrote to that gathering of people so long ago. When I was doing a bit of swatting up for this talk, I learnt that the 16th century theologian Tyndale said of our passage today, John singeth his song again. And I just love that. John singeth his song again. He urges the people of God to be loving communities, which is what we're exploring today. So why should we love one another? Why should we be a loving church? We love because love is God's eternal nature. As I said, our God is a gathering God. He's a God of relationship because his very being is love. In verses 7 and 8 in our passage, love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. That is his very nature. And we also love each other because love is God's historical gift. He modelled his love for us by sending Jesus, part of his very self, to bring us back into relationship when the relationship with mankind had gone wrong, with sin getting in the way. This is the manifestation and the essence of love. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. And we also love one another because God still loves us. He loves us in the present. His love is seen in and through each other. It says in verse 12. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. I think this is an absolutely huge thought and almost incomprehensible. It's fairly obvious that no one has seen God. But it is astonishing that God's nature can be seen in the people present here and the continuing acts of love that they carry out. It's just so exciting that we can be Jesus to the world. I had a sneaky look at ahead in my community Bible reading experience, this text in that, and it says of verse 17, love is made complete in us. It says, we are Jesus to the world. That's what it means. When God's love is made complete in us, it means that God's love is so flowing through us that when we go out into the world, people can see God. And it's a very hard thing to get our heads around. But, and certainly personally, it's hard to feel that we can be that. But if we look around our community, we can see that that is true. Mutual love in the church is, on one level, a command. We are told that we must love one another. But fundamentally, it is the consequence of each one of us grasping how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, as it says in Ephesians. This is fundamentally what being a loving community is. It's loving, being loved by God, understanding God's love, grasping it, and then sharing it. Our love for one another is a response to God's love, and it's not the basis of his love for us. Our love for one another is enabled by God's love, and it's not independently produced. And interestingly, in verse 11, John does not draw the conclusion that because God loved us, we ought to love God. Rather, he declares that we ought to love one another. Of course, this doesn't mean we shouldn't love God. The first commandments still stand. But it does imply that the love of God must show itself in love for tangible human beings. Love for God will show itself in self-sacrificing acts of love for others. These two, God's love and our love for the world, are inseparable truths. Now, I think it needs to be said that we are a loving church. And I think that that is part of our nature as a church. I think that people here have grasped the love of God and they do love one another. And I see that as part, as being involved in the pastoral hub. When I hear that somebody's in trouble, I maybe start to lift the phone and I find out, are they in a connect group? Is there a group of people gathering around them? And very, very often in our church community, when I start to do that, I find it's happening. It's working. And it won't work all the time because we're less than perfect. But it works a lot in this community. And one of the wonderful things about this church community is we are... We have a breadth of age and experience here, and I think we should treasure this and foster it, because this makes us family, and family, in a good family, is where you see love demonstrated the best. And I think that we must be looking out for one another, just as we look out for one another in a church family, in an ordinary family. But also, we must plan for growth. This church is expanding at the most extraordinary rate. Every week we have new people joining us, and praise God for that. But we need to hold on to that core of our being, this love of God that will prosper the people who are drawn into this place. I go back to that little story I told at the beginning about my mother kneeling by the bed. And I just need to tell you that during an argument with my sister a few years on, maybe when I was 7 or 8, I turned round to her and said, yes, but I'm special and mummy loves me the best. And I have to say that somebody at our Connect group said, I'm looking at him now, said on Tuesday, God loves everyone, but he loves me the best. And we all rounded on him. Because actually, what my sister told me is that my mother told each one of us exactly the same thing. And so I wasn't quite as special as I thought. But even human love is not finite. we can, I mean, I think love is such a hard concept to kind of explain, but it is extraordinary the way love stretches. I can remember when my second son was born, the morning he was going to be born, I was going to go into hospital to be induced, and my first son was about, I think he was about 14 or 15 months old, and he was a tiny little baby, and he couldn't walk, and he just seemed so little, and I can remember, as I went into hospital, my mother arrived, and Paul drove me into hospital to be induced, and I remember going up to William's room and kneeling by the cot and starting to cry and thinking, I am never going to be able to love anybody. Well, make me cry now. Anybody as much as I love this little scrap of a baby. And it seems so unjust to be having yet another baby into the mix, because my love just wouldn't stretch that far. I couldn't love anybody. And then, you know, 24 hours later, a fairly grueling 24 hours later, Timothy was born, and we looked at him and we loved him too. And we still do love each of our children. Maybe not the same, but we love them each equally. And that is an amazing miracle, isn't it? And we see that in our own families if we're privileged to have children. But we also see that in the church. And as the church grows, God will give us the love that stretches even more. And we need to be real with one another. We need to be honest in our relationships. I can remember one of the very first sermons I heard after I became a Christian was encouraging me to be real. Maybe some of you wish I hadn't heard this sermon. When somebody asks, how are you? Yes, sometimes one has to answer, I'm fine. But we're not always fine, are we? When we arrived in this place, quite interestingly, we'd been in our last church for 40 years, and we came here, and I wasn't quite sure what you had to wear or how you had to behave. The first two or three weeks, I was trying really hard to behave like a Christian so that people would see me and accept me. But actually, I soon learned that that was quite a hard thing to do, and it sort of just gradually slipped. And thank you for allowing that to happen and still giving me the feeling of being loved. We need to be real with one another. And actually, it's much easier to love someone who's being real. We all know people who are not terribly real. I know one or two people like this, and everything's always super and fantastic. And you kind of know that's not the truth. You know that things are going on underneath their lives. And it's hard to get to grips with those people. But if we really are real with one another, we will be easier to love. And I think pastoral care is a lot easier to give when we're in relationships. I'm not very good at knocking on strangers' doors, and I'm much better loving people I'm in relationship with. And our small groups are called connect groups because it's where we connect with one another and we connect with God. And they give us an opportunity to make deep relationships which will spill over into love. And so work on being honest and open in your connect groups. You know, it gives me great pleasure when I see our connect group all sitting together. Sometimes that happens. You see groups of people sitting together, and you kind of know that's it's working, that people are enjoying each other's company. And connect groups are a key way to finding relationships in the church community as it grows, and places where we can give and receive love. They're key. And if you're not in a connect group, may I encourage you to join one. I've got a sheaf of leaflets here, and Sue's here as well. So if you're not in a connect group, just think about it. Think that this is a place where you can find where you fit in the family of Christ, and you can learn to give love and to receive it. And what is the outworking of this. Because it's all very well to be in a holy huddle, loving one another. And we've learnt, haven't we, from various people about life beyond the lich gate. But I'm going to talk about love beyond the lich gate. And actually, as Simon's said, all those titles we've had, to all these talks we've had on being an authentic church, all these actually come together in being a loving church. And in, as I said in verse 14, God's love is made complete in us. We, as a church family and as individuals, need to be like Jesus to the world. And if we get it right, the world will be attracted to Jesus. In John 13, verse 35, it said, "By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." And I think it's not always easy to do that. But we need to look for opportunities. I love it when J. John speaks. I don't know if anybody's heard J. John. He always says, "But how? But how? How do we do it?" It's not always easy to love one another, and it's not always easy to love those outside the church. Most people are delightful, but some are decidedly difficult to love. And I had a top tip years and years ago. I was a very young woman, and I was cooking on a house party, and we had, I don't know, 70 little boys, I guess, and they were all in this school in North Wales. And one of the talks one evening, somebody spoke and said, "Top tip, when you are finding someone difficult to love, as you put your hand to the door, pray as you go through the door that God's love will flow through you." And on this camp, I had a helper. Well, she was called a helper, but she wasn't actually much of a helper. She really didn't have, I didn't know much about cooking, but she knew even less. So when I said, "Can you put the lettuce in the fridge?" she put it in the freezer. And I don't know if you know what happens when you put lettuce in the freezer, but you can't serve it as salad later on. And when I asked her to boil an egg, she actually got hold of the egg and she put it into the boiling water with her fingers. So she was pretty hopeless. So this was a real challenge to me. So every time I put my hand on the kitchen door, I would pray for love for this young woman. And the miracle was that as the week went past, it began to happen. And I couldn't, in my weak state, love her with my own love. But I would pray for the love of God to flow through me to this woman. And that began to happen really quite quickly. I began to see her with God's eyes, see her in a different way. And by the end of the week, I would honestly say that I loved her. And that is what happens. I remember this has happened as we've had small groups over the years. We've been challenged to have somebody in our small group. And we thought, oh, golly, no. I shouldn't really say that. There's nobody in our small group at the moment like this. I just want to say that. But sometimes you get a bit of a challenge. And you pray that God's love will flow through you. And as you begin to pray for people, this miracle happens. And I just think this is just one of the most exciting things about being a Christian, that as you pray for people, you begin to love them. And so let's do that. Let's pray as we go through doors. Pray as we come through this church group door. Pray as we go to our Connect group. And pray as we go through Sainsbury's door as well. And expect God to work by his Holy Spirit. Expect God to give us that love and make us more like Jesus. This is the wonderful economy of God's love. When we start to know people, we may need to pray for God's love to flow through us and out to those we meet. But as we begin to pray for people and understanding it more, we will gradually find out that our own love merges with God's love. So another little experience I've had in life is I started prayer walking for the road that we used to live in. And it was quite easy because it was a cul-de-sac. So, and we sort of lived halfway down on one side. And I would walk, as I walked to the shop, sometimes I'd walk round what we used to call the blunt end when the children were little. And I would pray for people in their houses. And I knew some of the people and I didn't know others. But as I walked and prayed for people, God gave me a heart for that road. And then one day, he spoke to me. And he said, I want you to organise a barbecue for the street. And I did that. And I got help, you know, and it was great. And we had, and it was just wonderful. Because what happened is that we became a community as we met together and had this barbecue. And also what happened is that people began to know that we were a Christian household. And I can't tell you the number of people who would come and knock on our door, people who weren't Christians necessarily, they'd knock on our door and say, can you pray for me? I'm in trouble. And so God's love was actually, through that very simple thing, was shed abroad. And it wasn't me, it was God. And so I would encourage you to prayer walk your road and pray for God's love for your neighbours. And also, I would encourage you to get involved with this great big giveaway. Look, it's on a plate for you. It's easy. Just look through your cupboard. See what you can give to the great big giveaway. Go up there and talk to our people who live in our parish up on Madley Park. Use this as an opportunity to shed God's love to the community. And we need to be bold. And it says that perfect love casts out fear at the end of our reading. Much of our inability to love beyond the lych gate comes from our fear of the unknown. What makes it so difficult? What makes this person so difficult? Why do I have to do that? I can't put my head above the parapet. And also fear of our own failure. Maybe they won't like me. Maybe I'll be rejected. But John says in verse 18, there is no fear in love. Perfect love drives out fear. And that absence of fear or boldness doesn't derive from a sense of self-sufficiency, but from the relation of a child to the Father. Love and fear of judgment are incompatible. And this doesn't imply flawless behaviour on the part of the child. Rather, it is God's full and free acceptance and the believer's trust in his love that gives us full confidence and excludes fear and uncertainty. We must learn to be confident in God's love so that we may be able to share his love with others. So, in conclusion, and as a challenge, can we all pray that we will be able to grasp even more firmly the nature of God's love? Can we pray that as God continues to grow our loving community, he grows it into something attractive to the outside world? And can we believe that we can be part of this? And can we take that love of God out into the world beyond where we sit today? Can we take the love of God to Whitney and beyond?